This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Suk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
They go so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans Pro Football Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Pro Football Challenge with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Cut that meat.
The Fan.
All right, we did it last year, and we weren't very good. And we're going to do it again this year, and we're going to be better.
Wasn't I okay last year? I feel like I did okay.
No. Nope, Mike, I'm very sorry.
Fine, jerk.
So let's be better, okay?
Does anyone actually remember how we did?
No.
Okay.
Knock on wood if you're with me. So you can sign up for the Fans Pro Football Challenge by going to our website, the www. is 1080thefan.com, the worldwide web address, 1080thefan.com. Get on there, sign up, and you can win prizes weekly. You can play against all fan personalities. It's exciting, and it's free. It's amazing.
Best thing in the world.
Really, it is. Of all the things on earth,
nothing is better than this.
Nothing is better. So, looking at the games here, Atlanta-Minnesota is an interesting game this week. Of course, Green Bay-Chicago tonight. Chicago is a three-point favorite in that one.
Taking the pack.
Are you?
I mean, it's not one of my picks, but it can be. I think we're way overvaluing Chicago.
Well, you got Aaron Rodgers in primetime, man, and you never bet against Aaron Rodgers in primetime. See last year. Remember, this was the game last year.
We got hurt, though.
Where it was 17-0. Yeah, but he came back in, hobbling around, and he beat him.
Chicago is getting way too much love. Chicago and Cleveland are my two overhyped teams. Not that either one of them's bad, but I just think they're taking way too much action. I think Green Bay being healthy, and I think Green Bay's defense is going to be good, and it's improved. They spent some draft capital on the secondary. They got some guys up front. I think Green Bay is going to surprise some people. And I'm not going to say that they roll in this, but I just think the wrong team here is getting the love. I think Green Bay is just a better team and has a better roster than Chicago does.
The Bears were a covering machine at home last year.
Yep.
So we'll see if they can keep that going tonight. I'm not going to play that game, but I was just kind of going through and looking at some of the more interesting games. The Rams are playing in Carolina. You've got Indy at the Chargers.
You mentioned Atlanta and Minnesota, right?
I did. See, Pittsburgh, New England.
And remember, it's always hard at the start. I don't like to bet a lot. I do place wagers. I make small wagers. The first 4 weeks of the NFL, it's a real feeling out process because we have no idea who's going to be good. Every year, there's a handful of overhyped teams that we think are going to be Super Bowl contenders that stink. And then there's a couple that we all write off that end up being 9-7 or 10-6 in a playoff squad.
So I will keep our records each week, every Thursday at 4. You can tune in. I'll keep the running tally. And we'll find out which one of us is worthy of being a sports talk radio host.
Yes.
And which two of us are not.
And who knows how many people Doc Harris Stadium seats.
That's right.
In Camas, Washington.
Also, we will be going officially by the lines, the Vegas Insider consensus line on VegasInsider.com, okay?
Okay.
That way we're all in agreement on.
Yeah, because you can find between, you know, sometimes a point, half a point, depending on where you're looking.
No fudging the lines here. This is official.
These are real-time lines.
They are. So let's get Mike. You want to give Mike the mic?
Sure.
Mike, you have the mic.
Would you like me to make all three or just my first?
I'd like your first.
My first pick is going to be Tampa Bay as a 1-point favorite over the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of people are very high on Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians going in there with his offense. People think Jameis Winston's going to have a bounce back year. They like the receiving core there with Mike Evans as well as Chris Godwin. So I'm going to go ahead and follow this along with Jimmy Garoppolo can't seem to throw the football and take Tampa Bay at home minus one.
And that is indeed the line on Vegas Insider. Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw the ball. That's got to be tough for a quarterback.
That would be difficult. Although Lamar Jackson appears to be doing this in Baltimore. No one has a problem with that.
All right, Big Zook, you're up.
I just got done saying that I think the Bears are my first overhyped team, and I would like Green Bay, but I don't know if I'll make that an official pick. But I will tell you my first official pick will be the other team I said that is overhyped, and that is Cleveland. Tennessee is going to Cleveland, and I've got this 5.5 or 6.
I can only give you 5.5.
Yeah, all right, then I'll take the 5.5, because I think Cleveland is getting way too much love, and Tennessee, while I don't think Tennessee by far or by any stretch of the imagination is a great team, I do think that Tennessee is healthy. Taylor Lewan being out, that sucks, but they got Delanie Walker back.
Suspended, right?
Yeah, he's suspended the 4 games. Mariota has talked about that he's feeling more comfortable in this system.
They're going with Mariota, not Tannehill?
Yeah, Mariota's
all
the guy.
All that hype about Tannehill?
I'm going to take Tennessee. I don't know if they win, but I'm just not ready to give Cleveland.
Mariota.
I'm not ready to give Cleveland a 5.5-point lead over anyone. And remember, Tennessee, you know, was 2 years ago was a playoff team. So give me Tennessee here. Not to win, but I think they cover.
Does it make you feel good that I agree with that pick? Or does that make you feel bad that
I don't know
with that pick?
Oh, and by the way, Tennessee's defense is going to be good. They're gonna stuff the run. And that's going to put a lot of emphasis on Baker Mayfield. And we'll see if he can live up to the hype.
I does agree with you there, Pana. All right. My first pick, I am looking at a guy who I believe to be one of the better home underdog bets in all of the National Football League.
What is Colorado Rockies?
No, it is not the Rocks. It is a guy who is 4-1 since 2017. He is 16-8 overall as an underdog the last 4 years, and he opens up the season as an underdog, and I'm talking about Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. On Vegas Insider, consensus is Carolina is a 2-point dog. I will grab those points. I would also like to point out that the Rams wasn't even towards the end of the season. It was their last 12 games. They only covered 4 of their last 12 last year. So I think the value there is Cam Newton and Carolina.
The sharps were coming in. This has been bet down. I think it opened at 3.5, and it's been bet down to 2.5 now.
My second pick is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 3.5-point favorites over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, they are in Jacksonville, but I am not a Nick Foles believer. I am not a Leonard Fournette believer. And because of that, I think the Chiefs will slaughter Jacksonville in week 1. So 3.5 seems like a sucker bet, so maybe it is, but I'm going to go ahead and take KC on that.
This is one of my more intriguing games because I want to see if Kansas City, with a year underneath their belt, who also is offense faded a little bit down the stretch, when teams don't have film on anyone, see the Rams and see Kansas City, you can come out like gangbusters. I think there's going to be a little bit of a regression for Kansas City. Not that Kansas City is going to be bad, but I do think they're going to come back a little bit. And Jacksonville, I'm intrigued. Their defense started playing better towards the end of the year. I still think there's elite talent there. If Nick Foles and Fournette can be healthy and Nick Foles can continue what he's done in Philadelphia, I think Jacksonville could be a surprise team. I'm interested in that one.
That's so funny because I've talked to a lot of people who are like, oh, Jacksonville's terrible. Nick Foles, overrated. They suck. And then there's also people that are like, oh, man, watch out for Jacksonville this year.
I don't have a great feel. I wouldn't bet that one, but that's one that that's probably one of my 3 or 4 games that I most want to watch. I'm going to go with this
one.
Wait
a minute. What? Officially confirmed 3.5, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm going to grab some points here, and that is my Indianapolis Colts, led by Jacoby Brissett, going to your Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, this isn't a home game for the Chargers because they don't play home games. No one's there. No one cares. It'll be a road game. There'll be as many Colts fans as there are Charger fans there. And this is obviously thrown out of whack because of the Andrew Luck retirement. I don't think this is nearly as big a distraction as people are making it out to be. I think the Colts have been dealing with this for weeks. I think they know they've known that this was coming, and I think there's going to be a circle the wagon sort of thing. And I think the Colts just have a damn good roster. I think their defense has improved, their offensive line is good, and the Colts just said they believe in Jacoby Brissett. They just gave him $30 million over 2 years. And quite frankly, I just never trust the Chargers. They always find a way to gack it, or at least allow a backdoor cover. And I'm getting 6.5 in this. Give me the Colts and the points on the road technically against the Chargers.
And that is indeed 6.5. My second pick will also be taking some points. I always like to grab points early in the season, and I will do that with the Houston Texans getting a touchdown at the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Saints haven't covered in their last 5 openers. As a matter of fact, I think it was last year, might have been 2 years ago, that the Saints freaking lost at home with the number one survivor pool pick in the league. They don't necessarily come out of the gate firing on all cylinders in that offense. There's just too many points here. Houston is a good team with a good quarterback that travels to that travels well on the road. This will be a good game, so I will grab the points and say that Houston covers the 7-point spread.
My final pick will also be grabbing some points. The Giants are 7-point underdogs against the Dallas Cowboys, and I look at this two ways. I have some stats to back it up, but the first way I look at it is NFC East games are always a dogfight between these four teams: Redskins, Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants. There's also a pretty decent size spread on the Eagles-Redskins game that I considered, but I have a stat to back this pick up. In week one, since 2014, there have been 15 games between divisional opponents where the home team was favored. The road dog has gone 12-2-1 against the spread in those 15 games. That's the Giants, +7. I'm taking it.
Say that stat one more time.
Since the start of the 2014 NFL season, there have been 15 games between divisional opponents in week one where the home team was favored. The road dog in those games has gone 12-2-1 against the spread.
Yeah, I saw that same stat, but I saw it a different, there was a different number. It was 17-4. In other words, if you have division rivals in week one, the underdog has covered 17 of the last 21.
I like little fun gambling trends.
I'm a big trend guy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you just.
You don't know what the hell. Nobody knows what they're doing. Well, just bet the trends.
Especially the first couple weeks in the NFL. Like I said, it's really hard. You don't know the identity of anyone. All right, my third one, because you went with Carolina. I'm going to take what I said at the beginning. I think the wrong team is favored here. Green Bay on the road. They're getting 3. Is that the line or is it?
3.5.
Three and a half. I'm going to grab that.
No. Excuse me.
Where are we at?
The Vegas Insider Consensus has that spread at 3 points.
3 points.
Oh.
I will take the Green Bay Packers. Oh. I think they're the better team. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Green Bay will surprise some people. There's too much love on Chicago. I saw this on one of the sites. Someone took a screenshot of this. Yesterday, you could go on FanDuel Sportsbook and get Green Bay getting 7.5 points. That's how much people are jockeying the Chicago Bears. I mean, that's ridiculous. 7.5? Give me Green Bay, and I'll take the 3.
In my final pick, I am playing a trend, and that is never bet against John Harbaugh when he is the subject of a trend. That dude owns Miami. The Baltimore Ravens are headed to the Dolphins down in Miami, and Vegas Insider Consensus is 6.5, and I will take Baltimore to cover that easily. Miami sucks. They might be the worst team in the league. Ryan Fitzpatrick scares me a hair because, that, well...
Except he doesn't have an offensive line to play in front of him.
Fitzmagic. But I think Baltimore is going to absolutely pummel Miami. It doesn't matter about Lamar Jackson. Baltimore by double digits in that game. So my third pick is Baltimore -6.5. So every Thursday at 4, tune in for our Pro Football Pick'em. Play against us at 1080thefan.com. Win prizes. Mike Lynch is on Tampa Bay -1. Kansas City -3.5 and the Giants +7. Souk is on Tennessee +5.5, Indianapolis +6.5, and Green Bay +3. And my three picks are Carolina +2, Houston +7, and Baltimore -6.5. A few other interesting nuggets from Bears Packers, which we'll get into next. Before in the news, it is 4:13 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, the real thing starts tonight, guys. The NFL, the National Football League. That gets me excited.
your more sports excited, pants runneth over.
They do overfloweth. It gets me more excited than college. College is a slow build for me. NFL, it's like boom, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, in college, let's be honest, depending on who your team is, you play anywhere from 2 to 4 relevant games. If you're like Kansas, you play 2 because those are the only 2 games you have a chance of winning, right? I mean, in the NFL, every game matters, and you should get good games. There just isn't the road apples. Even bad teams in the NFL can jump up and bite you in the ass. And it's just a much better product, let's be honest.
So am I the only one hoping for a double doink on the Bears' first kick tonight? Because that's where we left off with the Bears.
Yeah.
The double doink and then Cody Parkey getting all...
I don't need it for the first kick. I would like it to come down Green Bay up by 2. Chicago on the move, settling for a 41-42-yard field goal and the game being on the line. And the home crowd getting ready to murder... whoever the kicker from the Raiders, I forget what his name
is. His name is Eddie Pinheiro.
Yeah. That's the guy.
That's who won the job.
Yeah. They traded from the Raiders at the end of last season.
But they brought 9 guys in for a kicking competition. Yes. 9.
And even after they cut everyone but this cat, they went into the final 1 or 2 preseason games and said that he wasn't guaranteed the job, that they were open to the idea of going to find someone and bringing him in at the end.
I would like to point out that 1, he was undrafted. 2, he's only 23 years old. And 3, he has never kicked in the NFL.
Yeah, he was on IR with the Raiders, but apparently they liked him in the preseason before he got hurt last year. And
I take that back. He's kicked in a preseason game. He's never kicked in an NFL regular season game. So, yeah, good luck with that. So I don't know how long his leash is, you know, because the Bears...
Who knows? It can't be that long.
Well, no, they're really impatient because they waited too long with Cody Parkey and it... Yeah. You know, it hosed them.
Well, again, they didn't give him the job, even though they cut all the other kickers. They were still like, hey, don't screw this up in the final game. We'll cut your ass.
So I think that the Bears kicking situation is a fascinating watch. So we'll see what happens tonight. Remember, there's actually a really good article on The Athletic, I think. I think it was The Athletic. But they were talking about why it's so hard to kick at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went back and interviewed like Morton Anderson and Robbie Gould and some of Packers kickers, like Longwell was interviewed in there about why it's so hard to kick at Soldier Field. Well, it's a combination of things. For some reason their grass is funky, and Longwell described it as like a comb over. It's like you kind of have to play the grain of the grass in a sense that whatever type of grass it is, it lays on top of it. It kind of, I don't know, it bends to the point where he says that that does affect a lot of things. A lot of other kickers said that it's kind of slick and a hard surface, and that makes it just makes you uncomfortable. Doesn't mean you can't make the kick. It's like kickers, you just get uncomfortable there, and then you have to factor in the wind, and then you have to factor in the weather. There's a lot of slipping. It's one of those things that everybody that kicks there, Longwell said, I tell you what, every time the schedule came out every year, he would circle the games in Chicago because you have to do extra to get ready for those games.
I knew that places like that were always tough to kick, but I always thought it was just weather and wind. I mean, kicking
outdoors.
It's
the wind, it's the grass, and it's footing. Huh. And it makes I forget which kicker said it, but he said, look, Cody Parkey hurt himself because when you kick in Chicago, you have to arrive early and practice it a lot in order to feel comfortable because it's different there. Parkey didn't get to Chicago until like November or something. I don't remember what his story was.
Didn't put the work in.
Yeah, he did. He didn't really, you know, practice what it took to be comfortable at Soldier Field. And so they just said whoever wins the Bears job is a guy who's got to be over at the field, not the practice facility, at the field, you know, every single day trying to get comfortable kicking in that. Stadium.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't know any of that, but it's interesting.
Here are the stats.
It's interesting that you've got a guy that's never kicked in a game, and how interesting would that be? No, because he knows the emphasis that's been put on this and the short leash that he's on. Boy, wouldn't that be something if this comes down to a field goal at the end?
Well, I just think it's going to be a problem all year, right? Like, I mean, dude, they have absolutely put a spotlight on this guy.
Yeah.
By the way they've handled their kicking situation when they should have just... You know, maybe if you want to move on from Cody Parkey, I get that. Just don't make it a thing. They have made this a huge issue by basically saying, that, you know, Well, what'd they do? They lined up all nine of the kickers and made him kick from 43 yards, the exact spot Parkey missed. And then if they missed, they got, I don't know. They made it. It's like Finkel Einhorn, you know?
Yeah.
Like they just obsessed over it.
That it just got, and you would
let
think,
it go.
And you would think with kickers, then half of that is probably very much a mental thing, right? I mean,
well, they're not making it easier.
No, all those guys that are in the NFL all have the physical skills to kick. I got to believe the difference between the ones that hang around and the ones that don't. It's what's between your ears. And no, I can't imagine that the Bears have made this easy on anybody.
So since the start of the 2016 season, this was after Robbie Gould left, the Bears kickers are hitting 74% of field goals at Soldier Field. Their opponents are hitting 93%. That's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I would say so. That could be an issue.
Well, the Bears hosting the Packers is the 100th anniversary game. That's why your champion isn't starting. Usually the NFL champion, the Super Bowl champion, is the one that kicks off the season. But they went with Bears-Packers because it's the 100th anniversary of the league, and it's the oldest rivalry in the league. Their first meeting was in 1921.
Yikes. What was it? Was it called the NFL?
No.
Something completely different.
It was something from the 20s.
It does bother me, though, that when the Packers go with their weird throwback unis that have nothing on them, right? It's like the worst look in the world. And I hope they're not wearing those dumb things. Although the Bears, I saw that this year they're going to be wearing like the old Michigan helmets, the Wolverine logo. Because I guess that's what they wore back in the day.
At that point, they were the Chicago Staleys, coached by George Halas in 1921.
The Chicago Staleys?
That's what they called them, yeah. Huh. And Curly Lambeau was, of course, the coach of the Packers. And the Bears won that meeting 20-0. Since, it's 97-95 in favor of the Packers. This is like almost their 200th meeting.
Yeah, I've got a buddy of mine who grew up behind the Cheddar Curtain. And I don't know if I had a true appreciation for what hatred is for another sports city and a sports team than when I got to know him and his just hatred of all things Chicago.
We don't appreciate it enough, do we?
No. I mean, I don't know about you. Like, who are the Royals, like, growing up? Who was, like, you, Cardinals?
Cards, certainly, but, you know, they didn't have interleague play when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But so you never... the I-70 World Series was a thing.
Yeah.
The White Sox.
Well, and here in Portland, growing up, obviously, we had Blazers, and you had Blazers Sonics, and you got Blazers Lakers, and, you know, the Civil War, and my brother at Washington State in the Apple Cup. But I just had never seen just raw hatred for anything that involved Chicago until I met someone that was from Wisconsin, and just the pure joy they have in everything misery when it comes to the Bears.
Well, the Bears only lost one starter off of one of the top defenses in the NFL last year. So a lot of people high on them. I know you aren't as much, but that's one of the reasons why. There is a new defensive coordinator because, of course, Vic Fangio left to be the head coach of the Broncos. And do you know who the Bears' new defensive coordinator is?
I did. I just saw this the other day.
I'll give you a hint. Can I play something for you?
Yeah. It's Greg Williams, right?
I got you, babe.
Oh, no. It's I got Pagano. You, babe.
Chuck Pagano.
I don't know why. Where's Greg Williams? Is he...
he's
Where did Greg Williams serve? I think he's with the Jets. I think Greg Williams might be in... Yeah, he's in the Jets, yeah. with Gase. Yeah. I think that's a bigger deal than anyone's making it out to be. That Fangio, who was one of the most respected defensive coordinators in the game, I don't think that's you just wipe your nose at that.
Well,
that in Chicago,
Khalil Mack.
I don't believe in Trubisky.
You go Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, and Akeem Hicks. That's pretty freaking nasty.
It's a good defense, but Green Bay's defense is going to be good, and Aaron Rodgers greater than.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. But what about the Packers defense? What did they do? What do they got? What are they bringing to the table?
I was looking at this. So they got the Savage kid in the draft, who's their starting safety that everyone's pretty high on. And they went out and got two defensive linemen. They got Preston Smith. Was one they added, and Dean Lowry. So they got two new defensive ends. Well, I guess Preston Smith plays on the outside because they're going to run the 3-4, and that Za'Darius Smith they're really high on, and the young corner they have Alexander, who played last year, and then Kevin King. So they're supposedly the rumor is out of Green Bay is that this is going to be the best defense that they've had since the Super Bowl team with Aaron Rodgers. That this is going to be a unit that's really going to surprise some people. And then when you throw in the fact that you now have a healthy offense. You have a healthy Aaron Rodgers to go along with Davante Adams. They like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams running the ball. Jimmy Graham at tight end, a good offensive line. I think Green Bay is a surprise team. And I don't know how you can say they're a surprise team with Aaron Rodgers, but the last couple of years, he hasn't been healthy and he hasn't been that good. I think there's a bounce back year coming with Rodgers as long as Matt LaFleur and him can get along.
Yeah, isn't that a big if, though? I mean,
well, it is.
They're already fighting about how much...
control at the line of scrimmage.
How much control Rodgers has to audible.
Yeah. I mean, this is why going
That's
into...
a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Why going into the NFL season, you never have... Give this thing a handful of weeks to see how it plays out, because we can all think one thing and it can get turned on its ear. I just have more of a belief in Green Bay than I do in Chicago. I think Chicago and Green Bay are overhyped right now.
Aaron Rodgers, 16-5 with 45 touchdowns and 10 picks in his career against the Bears.
Yeah, people keep saying he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in Chicago since like 2005.
Oh, really? What?
Or not 2005, 2015. I'm sorry.
Well, he's got great numbers against the Bears, but it's all at Lambeau, huh?
All at Lambeau.
Oh, interesting. Well, I think it's going to be a good matchup.
And I also think last year that some...
How's that for a hot take?
Some of the takeaway statistics for Chicago last year were just off the charts. And you don't duplicate those year after year. They will come back a little bit. I think when you have a bit of an outlier like that and you just have this team that comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden this defense is just suffocating, it's hard to put together back-to-back years of truly elite defense, especially when I don't really believe in your offense.
What are the Bears doing at running back? They got that rookie back there? The Iowa State kid?
Yeah, Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah,
David Montgomery, and then Tariq Cohen is their pass-catching guy.
Yeah, they're kind of the third down back. And they'll go by committee a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, Mitchell, outplay Rodgers on the big stage.
Well, and I think it's time to let him drop if you're Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, to me,
the kicker will blow it.
He's a guy that just is running around, but he can make plays with his legs. I don't trust him throwing the football, and I think against this Green Bay defense, I don't think that he's just going to be able to scramble around, and I don't think you're holding Aaron Rodgers to 17 points.
I'll take the Bears, but we'll see. That should be good. Coming up later, we'll have our NFL backup quarterback game for 2019. I've put that together for you guys. And you guys... I think we're going to fail miserably. Dude,
this year.
I'm telling you, it's the hardest year yet.
Is it?
Yes. I'm going to set the over-under a little lower for you.
I watched too much preseason football, though.
Okay.
Did you see how many quarterbacks got cut, though?
I know. So that's my fear is like...
I don't watch a preseason, so it may be that I'm just... When I jot these notes down, I'm like, oh, wait, what?
See, I can usually
you
go...
You might know it.
Because when you watch the preseason, you never watch the starters. So that's usually where this comes from. But yeah, you're right. I didn't pay a lot of attention to who won the backup quarterback jobs in these camps. So I'll bet you I can name 90% of people that at one point were the backup quarterback in the preseason.
Not good enough.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're still the backup.
All right. We will get to that later. Up next, it is time for In the News. We have a Timbers Army protest. Here's Mike.
And Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll get back to some hot sports talk. Don't you worry. Well, this is kind of sports, I guess. It is September 5th, 2019. It's time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Cheese Pizza Day.
With a solid cheese pizza. For you people that aren't meat eaters, if you have to order a pizza at a party, get the cheese pizza. Don't get the stupid veggie pizza.
Now, you've been following this Timbers Army thing?
I have. We talked about it while you were gone.
Did you?
Yeah. One of the days you were gone, this surfaced when they were playing Seattle, and they like did the 33 minutes of silence.
Yeah. And then Merritt Paulson said you effed the team.
Yeah, and then they went back at Merritt Paulson, and it's a whole thing.
Boy, that Merritt Paulson, he's a renegade.
I was kind of surprised that he responded that way.
Yeah, that's him.
Do you really want to pick a fight with your...
Your own fans.
Your own fans?
He does, yes, apparently. Yeah. Well, they are now planning another protest after Major League Soccer issued a 3-game bans to fans who flew the Iron Front flags.
Yeah.
So if you don't know this whole story...
Well, this is where the 33 minutes of silence came from.
The Iron Front flag has been flown for a long time by members of the Timbers Army. And it is an old, it's basically an anti-fascist flag denouncing the old Nazi.
Yeah, it was like the first group that came out against the Nazi party.
And
the Nazis
so,
wound up banning the flag and the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, then. So the reason they did 33 minutes of silence was because that was the year 1933 that they, you know, the Nazis disbanded the Iron.
I was at that game.
Front. Oh, were you?
Yes.
What was that like then?
It was like a baseball game for 33 minutes because the army was doing nothing, right? They were just sitting there. And even the Sounders fans also weren't doing anything. People were talking and, you know, reacting to the game who weren't in those sections, but it was kind of like a baseball game. It was very strange. And the second the army got going in the 33rd minute, the entire intensity electricity changed.
And if you don't know, the flag is the circle with the three arrows, like at a diagonal. That's, if you don't know, that's the iron, what is it, the iron front flag?
So they banned them, and yet, despite the ban, Timbers Army members, a few of them flew the flag again last Saturday, and they were issued the three-game bans by the league.
Yeah.
So now there's a protest.
Because you're not allowed to have political signs, supposedly, at right. MLS games. So that's why they got a ban, because that obviously would be a political sign.
And hey, they're not saying it is political. They're saying it's human rights.
Yeah.
Not political. They probably have a point there, too. How do we feel about this?
I think it's... If you're the MLS and if you're the Portland Timbers, I just don't know if this is the war that you want to fight, if this is the hill you want to die on. I mean, it's an anti-fascist flag. Are you really... I don't know.
You're really saying that being anti-fascist is bad?
Yeah. I mean, I get why you... And I kind of get both sides of it, but if I'm Merritt Paulson, this isn't the road I'm going down.
We want to make something very clear. Our fight is not a fight with the Portland Timbers. Our fight is against white nationalists, white supremacists, and others that seek to bring hate and violence to our stadium, city, state, and country. The Timbers Army demands that the league change its policy on the Iron Front image, that it removes the word political from its fan code of conduct, and that it consults with human rights experts on inclusive and anti-discriminatory language.
Yeah, and I remember at the last game I saw a sign where they had the flag flying, and then above or over each arrow they had a red box that said censored. And I think that one obviously didn't fly very well either in the face of the MLS.
I read a really interesting article about this in Yahoo when the first thing of this happened when I went to that Sounders game. And the person was basically saying that MLS is making a terrible decision with this because so much of what they promote in their commercials and trying to grow the league is the atmospheres in the stadiums. And they often will use the Timbers Army because it's one of the three or four best fan bases in the MLS. And what you're basically saying is, even though we want to use you to promote our league, part of what you're doing and the whole reason why you exist, we don't want that. And they're basically flying in the face of what they use to promote their own themselves.
Well, maybe the MLS is just a bunch of fascists. Hearing anybody ever think about that?
I think that would be a bit of a bold stretch there.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
In a statement.
Let's see if it works out.
The Timbers front office said, "We continue to communicate with the league and our supporters on this issue. In the meantime, we and all clubs in the MLS need to enforce league rules, but the Timbers are committed to embracing explicit and creative anti-fascist and anti-racist expression, as we always have." Oh, really, Timbers? Have you?
I just know that if you've got this fan base in soccer that is different, I think, than any other fan base, and I do think that it is more political, and I do think it's more aware, and it's a different kind of crowd. And I understand that you can't open up Pandora's box and you can't have dueling political signs. I just find it interesting that flag, which probably, I don't know, would you say 75 to 85% of the people in the crowd have no idea what the hell it is? It's just, it's in Timbers colors. This seems like you're making a mountain out of what should be a very small molehill
right. That
only a few people would even understand what it is.
The person waving the flag wanted to use their platform to make a statement, but most people don't care or don't know.
Yes.
So you're right. It's you're trying to make this a huge deal when really it's just like, oh, cool, there's a flag there.
Okay. If I had shown up at the game before this in the 33 minutes of silence and I would have seen that flag, I would have had no idea what the hell that thing was, nor would I have asked what it was. And I think the vast majority of people in attendance would feel the same way and watching on TV.
So the next game, the Timbers Army will ditch all flags and smoke for goal celebrations. This is going to be Saturday against Kansas City. Instead, it plans to use banners with words instead of symbols to remind the world of their unwavering opposition to fascism and to discrimination. So that ought to go over well.
Yeah. This doesn't say, and again, this is a fight that I don't see a happy ending to.
There was I don't know if this was real or just rumor, but I saw after the Sounders game that apparently Merritt Paulson went up to the Timbers Army and just was livid.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So there was a guy who said something to Merritt Paulson after that game that you were at.
Yeah.
And Paulson was sitting somewhere, or maybe he's down on the field, and all Paulson said was, "You effed us tonight." Yeah. Saying your silence hurt the team, I guess, because they're not.
It did.
They,
I mean,
they weren't cheering for them.
The Sounders scored in those 33 minutes, and the Timbers looked awful. And then they looked a lot better once the crowd got into it. So.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, well, actually, no, not coming up next. Well, yes, coming up next.
Coming up now?
No, this will be next. There is a hero at Oregon State.
Oh.
But Foist, what is the most overdone local story? Is it any sort of run-in with a cougar or cougar sighting?
Those are pretty bad.
Is it the big earthquake is coming because smaller earthquakes happened?
Valid.
Or is it, you know, all the protesty, Patriot Prayer, Joey Gibson, Antifa, dum-dum off stuff?
Ooh. Those are three really solid contenders.
Because every day you read the local news, there's something about one of those.
Well, and I would like to add in the fourth, and that's when something that happens nationally that has no impact on us whatsoever, like we have nothing to do with it, and then we get the how it affects you locally. No, it doesn't affect me locally in any shape or form, but thank you for trying to shoehorn Portland into a national story. Most overblown.
Yeah, just overdone. I don't know about overblown, but just it's just constant.
Oh, God.
I mean, I could do a story every day about one of those three things on the news.
I know.
And I am today because we had a 3.8 magnitude earthquake and then a 5.9 magnitude earthquake out in the ocean west of Coos Bay.
Hey, yeah, but then I saw right below that, no tsunami expected.
Right, but that, no, but the big one's coming. They always have the follow-up article where they relink, like, oh.
God, I don't know.
Here it comes.
I'm probably going to say it's the protest because I think there's more of those than there are cougar sightings and earthquakes. But yes, to your point, seemingly when I log on to any website here, whether it be KGON or COIN or the Oregon Live.
KGON.
Or KGON, KGW.
Let's go to KGON.com.
I do not blink when
there.
I see a cougar, earthquake, or protest story. I'm just like, yep, that sounds about right, and scroll down.
Oh, look at this. You know what's on the front page of KGON.com right now?
What do you got?
Korn offering tips on dealing with depression.
Like the band Korn?
Yeah.
They're classic rock?
I don't know, but they're on KGON.com.
Oh, Korn sucks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Vince Neil's on here. Wow.
Go figure.
I've never been to KGON.com.
Can't say that
I'm excited to be here.
I can't say that I've been.
You know what? I'm going to listen live during the break.
See what happens? Except you don't have speakers.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so also a quick follow-up on the cougar news.
Yeah.
You know that guy who was being stalked by a cougar, but the cougar ran away because
he supposedly kicked it?
Yeah, he says he kicked it.
And I put supposedly on there?
They found the cougar and they shot it dead.
This was the one, is the Corvallis? Yeah. I saw there was an aggressive cougar. Was it really being aggressive?
They killed it.
Was it just doing cougar-type things?
It's very dead.
Poor cougar.
Hero at Oregon State next, 4:44 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we are a mere moments away from not only the kickoff of the NFL season, but more importantly, the Hot 5 at 5. A Thursday Hot 5 at 5.
It's different than a Wednesday Hot 5 at 5.
Right.
We put a little extra oomph in the 5.
Former Oregon State rower Henry Hebson is returning to Corvallis next week to finish his senior year. He is from Chicago, and he is bringing back to campus a pretty good story from his summer vacation. He is being lauded as a hero in his city. So he was a rower for the Beavers as a freshman and a junior. Recently, he was in the news in Chicago. Perhaps Joe Donlan reported on him.
I would like to believe that he did.
So he may have saved a man's life. He says, I don't really feel like a hero. Everyone is saying that I am, but I'm like anyone who would have done what I did. You have to do that. So here's what happened. On Tuesday, August 27th, he left work. He's a some catering job. Did you ever do the catering thing?
Can't say that I did.
I sure did. That job sucked.
Yeah. They did a whole show about it on HBO, and it did not appear to be made for me.
So he goes to pick up his cousins, Louie and Jackson, from high school after his job. He drives north on Waukegan Road, and an SUV going south drove past them. He sees in the rearview mirror that the car swerves, the SUV swerves, and left the road, disappears. He's like, oh my God.
That's not good.
The SUV went over a hill and flew into a pond, which was apparently on the property of some medical equipment manufacturer. So he just remembers going, what the F? And he turns around and pulls over and gets out of his car, and he saw the SUV floating in the lake. So he tells his cousins, hey, call 911. Louis, more reliable than Jackson. He calls 911. So then he runs across a bridge toward the lake. He takes off his shoes, socks, and t-shirt, and he jumps into the water.
Okay.
Now, do you ever think about that? Like, if you're presented with this challenge, like, do you protect your wallet? What I mean? Like, look, someone needs immediate help. Do you take the time to take off your rings and you know what I mean?
I have jumped in twice. After someone. Once they actually needed saving, and once the little brat kid was faking it and I wanted to just beat the living crap out of him. But I will tell you that in both of those cases, no, you just go. You just go.
And then you get out and you see your wallet's all...
I did take... once I was on a boat, once I was on the land, so it wasn't like I had like a bunch of stuff on me. But yeah, I did the shirt off and went on both of those. So I did take the time, because the shirt off is very, very quick. But you just go. There's not a lot of thought. When you see someone's in trouble, go.
So he saw the man slumped over. His hands were gripping the wheel. He was later told that the man had a seizure, and that's why he lost control of the vehicle. So the vehicle is floating away toward the middle of the lake. It's like headed out to sea.
Yeah.
And he said he grabbed the door handle and tried dragging it toward the shore.
He's going all Incredible Hulk?
I thought that was odd myself.
Can you drag a car? What?
I don't really...
I know it's underwater, but I'm assuming it... Like, I still think a car would be hard to move, but maybe if it's submerged enough, maybe you can. I don't know. You can pull a boat, right?
I guess.
Boat's in the water, but that's not a sinking boat. That's a boat on top of the water. You can kind of nudge it.
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought to try that.
No.
So there was a problem. The doors were locked and the man was unresponsive. So a bystander joins him in the rescue and he tosses him a rock about the size of a softball. And he tried banging the rock on the window behind the driver door. No luck. So he moves a few paces back off the car and hurls the rock through the window, shattering the glass. He says his adrenaline was through the roof. So he was able to then unlock the back door, but then he had another problem. Obviously, you've read about how you can't just open the door.
Yes.
The weight of the water will not allow you to open the door.
Yes.
So now what does he do? Now what do you do?
Well, you got to get in there and drag him out through the window. Or, as Bear Grylls has taught me, you can wait for the car to be fully submerged.
That's right.
Then you can open the door.
Yeah, so it doesn't really say if the car was sinking. It was certainly floating. And he says the weight of the water made it difficult, but eventually he was able to pry the door open. So it wasn't fully submerged, but he got the door open.
Well, Batman clearly is in the water at this point, so we're all in good hands.
Pretty badass.
Yeah. This guy says that this guy is in his fraternity, and he says, let me tell you, for a guy who does well with the ladies, he's going to be drowning in it.
Well, he crawls into the back seat, and that's, of course, full of glass. It looks from the pictures like the back seat is sort of up above the water.
Yeah, because it would assume that the car's slanty going forward.
Yeah, he says he got a couple of nice cuts. But with the door now open, water was quickly rushing inside the SUV. He says the water level was just below the man's chest when he worked himself into the front passenger seat. He unbuckled the guy's seatbelt but said the man was still going through a seizure. God, can you imagine this?
No, it's terrifying.
It was all Hebson could do to pull his hands from the steering wheel. So he has to pry his hands off the steering wheel. By this time, two bystanders got into the water to assist him in pulling the man from the SUV. They were able to get him up to shore, where they sat him up against a rock. Soon thereafter, emergency personnel arrived at the scene, and the man began to respond. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment, and he will live happily ever after.
That guy, he deserves a Go Beavers.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
He needs a Gary Anderson.
Go Beavers, how about that?
Yeah,
go unbelievable. Beavers.
And go, what was that kid's name?
His name.
Hebson something?
Hebson, yeah. His name is Henry Hebson.
Well, you know what, Hank? Tip of the cap, good sir. I don't know if, you know, hero gets thrown around probably a little too much, but
that's
in this
hero.
Case,
that's a hero.
That guy's a hero.
Yeah, he said a few days later, he heard from the guy's kid who thanked him and said his dad was doing well.
You know, sometimes you hear, like, you know, that's the old bits, like, you get called a hero for doing your job. It's like, hero teacher teaches after school.
Hero radio host offers great sports talk from 3 to 7 this last Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That, I am a hero. Band, that guy's a hero. He should be drinking for free in Corvallis.
The next few days after the rescue were a whirlwind for him. Local friends and those as far away as Oregon State reached out to congratulate him. He said he heard a rescue incident can be jarring for the Good Samaritan, but he says, I never really felt that. He said, next day, I just went to work.
Yeah.
He's like, suh, dude. Probably went to work, bro.
He's like, what's up? Yeah, it's what I do. It's what us beavers do. I've never saved anyone. I'm trying to think of save, like the... When I jumped in, there was a gal that was kneeboarding, and a little kid, and she had flipped over. And so the kneeboard was kind of trapping her. And I got to her and was able to flip her over. But I don't know. I'm assuming eventually she would have got over on her own. I can't say that I've ever saved someone's life.
I can't say that I have either.
That would be the closest thing. And I don't know. She was kind of flailing and was like half getting up, half not. It's the closest thing I've come. It's like getting a hole in one, but having it be on a par three course. It doesn't really count. I can't call that a saved life.
Yeah, like this guy says, hero radio host works Labor Day.
Yeah.
You're a hero.
You hear those things all the time, and you're like, that doesn't make you a hero. Does it? Means you did your job.
Well, Hebson originally planned to go to Gonzaga after high school, but he was out on the West Coast for college visits, and he took a look at Oregon State, and he fell in love with Corvallis. He's going to graduate in liberal studies next spring, and he decided to give up rowing. So he's got some free time, ladies.
Well, he has not given up being a gall darn hero and saving people from certain demise.
Absolute great job. I don't know what I would have done. What would you have done? Would you have jumped in?
No one. Like, you can say all you want. I'm a firm believer that until you find yourself in that situation, you don't really know. But I'd like to believe, as someone that can swim because I'm part manatee, yes, I would like to believe that I would go in the water.
Wait, what? You're part manatee?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a large... I
Your
do
dad
well,
was a manatee?
I do well in the water.
Huh. All
At
right.
least I can say that. There's twice where I've been presented with a situation in the water and I've went in. The second one, when I was on the river, there was a stupid kid pretending to drown in the Washougal River. And I got about halfway up and then he stood up and was like, ha, 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 ha. And thought it was hilarious.
What'd you do to him?
I was so pissed. Well, his mom... read him the riot act pretty good, but yeah, well, I was pretty upset at that one. Like, yeah, that's hilarious, kid. Way to fake drowning in the river. Great.
Douche.
Seriously.
All right, that's in the news for September 5th, 2019. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.